Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road and Pastor Jay Warner, a production of His Will Ministry. This is Brother Scott Adams, the director of His Will Ministry. Our mission is to encourage you to keep your eyes upon Jesus, to serve you by teaching the Word of God, the building up of the body of Christ, and to equip the saints. And it's just a privilege to be able to share Pastor's teaching with you, and we pray for that you'll be blessed and built up in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Hello and welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. I'm your host, Pastor AJ, and tonight's program is called Will You Leave Me? I want to talk a little bit tonight about our relationship with Jesus. Jesus was predicting the end times and telling us what to look for in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 4. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, but these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Where do you stand with Jesus? What is your relationship? Today, as we approach that time that Jesus is talking about, that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. As we grow closer and closer to that, what is your relationship with Jesus? Will you be the one who endures to the end and saved? Jesus was trying to warn us. If we look around at the news, if we look around at the world, we see earthquakes are increasing, famines are increasing, wars are continuing. It's hardly been a day that there has not been a war on the face of this planet for well over 100 years. There has not been one day of peace. There has been a war somewhere. Where do you stand with Jesus? Jesus said in John 16:32, "Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come. Will you be scattered each to his own and leave me alone? Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Here Jesus was talking, of course, about the period of time just before his crucifixion. He knew that even though these 12 had walked with him and talked with him for 3 years, they were about to abandon him. They would disappear. They would leave him alone. And he's saying, "But even then, I'm not alone." Timothy is told by Paul, and Paul gives us insight into what will happen in the end times when Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:3, "For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." As a pastor for over 26 years of my life, one of the things that I have seen more and more and more in the church today is more churches are taking their eyes off of Jesus and putting them on something else. It doesn't matter whether it's their religious beliefs, their spiritual doctrine, or whether they're like some of the churches of today that believe God is doing a new thing. But their eyes are being taken off of Jesus. Will we be like those where he says, "Many will leave, many will go astray, but he who endures to the end shall be saved"? We in America have one advantage over most countries of the world. We Christians in America are not facing the persecution If you take the time and go through the headlines, you will see how many Christians worldwide are being persecuted and killed on a daily basis. Hardly a day goes by that there is not some article somewhere, some story in some country of 100 or 200 or 300 Christians that have been killed because of their beliefs. We have to stand firm. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. More and more people want their ears tickled by this doctrine. They want to hear the good word. They don't want to hear the word that tells them the truth of holiness, of righteousness. They don't want to hear, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will follow." They want to hear the gospel that tells them they can go out and sin and fall down and get up and be happy. One of the more popular songs of the last couple of years has been called, "We Fall Down, We Get Up." And that's basically the tune of the song, "We Fall Down, We Get Up." Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that that is the lot that God has put there for you and I. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we are to be someone that can't be holy, that we can't be righteous, that we can't obtain what Jesus had. We're told all the way through the Bible, we're to try to be holy. "Be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye righteous as the Lord is." But what have we done with our world? Look around us. Look at society. Look at anywhere in this world, and what do you see? Corruption. More and more and more corruption. Look around at the children of the world. More diseases. More cancers. 2-year-olds, 1-year-olds with cancers that never was seen in children. Why? Because this world is coming to an end, my friends. We may not like the thought of it, but if we just open our eyes and look around, we can see that this world is coming to an end. It is slowly but surely grinding to a halt. Pollution, earthquakes, volcanic explosions, signs and wonders in the sky. The world is slowly coming to a grinding halt, or in God's timing, fastly. God says, "A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day." To us, our 70 years or 80 years of life is a long time. To God, it's a blink of an eye. In the grand scheme of eternity, you and I are here for a blink of an eye. And in that blink of an eye, we need to make a difference for God, not for ourselves. It doesn't matter whether you are a rich man or whether you're a poor man. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in Africa right now in a little hovel or you're sitting in New York City in a townhouse. It just doesn't matter. That has no bearing on the reality of your eternity and where you'll be. Jesus asked the question in John chapter 6, starting in verse 60. He had told several parables. And we start after the parables, and it says, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' And when Jesus knew himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man to ascend to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also go away?' But Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" My friend, it doesn't matter where you are, but you have to make that choice. Will you be one of those that walk backwards and don't follow Jesus? That will be what determines where you spend your eternity. Whether you like it or not, there is an eternity. And there is two choices in eternity. There is the choice of eternal damnation, or there is the choice of heaven and eternal life. And that is the two choices. It doesn't matter what you've been taught by your religious beliefs. It doesn't matter if you have no religious beliefs. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in God. And it, frankly, doesn't matter whether you don't believe in hell, because God does, and if you don't have Jesus, you're going. Hell is real. Hell exists, and heaven is real, and heaven exists. And so it doesn't matter where your present beliefs are. If you're not with Jesus and don't know Jesus, there's no hope for your future. Oh, you may be well off. You may have a good life in this life. But there's no hope for what will happen after your eyes close. The moment your eyes close, where will you be? Where will you be? Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you go away also?" But Simon answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah." My friend, are you one of those that spends his time in the Bible studying, reading the Word, devouring the Word, or as I like to call it, the manufacturer's handbook? God made us. He gave us the owner's manual. Yes, I know us men don't like to read owner's manuals, but this is one book we need to read from cover to cover, cover to cover, cover to cover, more times than I can count. The Word of God is alive. I cannot tell you how many times I have studied God's Word, how many times I have read through the Scriptures, and then I'll come back and read the same again, and God will open a particular verse to my heart at a time when I need to hear it. The Word is not a book that has been around for 1,000 years or more. The Bible is living. The stories in it become alive. If you want to truly experience Jesus, before you read the Gospels, ask the Lord to make it alive to you, and He will. I used to do that all the time when I was first reading the Gospels. And you know, God showed me and taught me, and there were times I would read the Word, and I still do it today. I will read the Word about Jesus and His life, and it'll be as if I'm there with Him. I'm not reading the Word. I'm not reading just words and paper. I'm living it. And God can do the same for you. He can put you there where you actually hear Jesus speak. You feel that you were there in that crowd as that woman on her face crawled through the crowd in the dirt and the dung on the street. Crawled through the crowd knowing that if only I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed. And when she touched Jesus, it says he felt the power leave him and she was healed instantly. You'll be there, my friend. That is the power of the living Word. This book gives you everything. The Bible gives you everything you need for life. You need to study and read it. But more than that, you need to come to Jesus with a personal relationship. Jesus is not some great teacher that lived 2,000 years ago. Jesus is not some great prophet that was crucified because of his words. Jesus is the living Son of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us what to look for in the end times. Again, he said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and many will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come, but the end is not yet." We have seen men after men after men that have claimed that they are the Messiah returned. And every one of them have led their followers to death or destruction. He tells us, he warns us 2,000 years ago, don't let anyone deceive you. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. You'll hear wars, rumors of wars, nations rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes. But these are only the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Look around, Christians. That's coming true. Both in America and worldwide, we are becoming hated. We are becoming called bigots because we preach morality, because we stand by Jesus, because we hold on to the truth. Will you leave him when the persecution comes? When that moment comes and someone tells you that you're a bigot because you preach the gospel, or when that moment comes that you lose work because they know you're a Christian, will you leave him or will you let him provide? I know in my particular life, in my particular circumstances, I know I've lost many jobs because the people knew that I was a Christian. But every job I ever lost, every instance where something was taken away from me because I stood up for Jesus Christ, more was returned to me by God in the future. And that's what he will do for you, my friend, if you will stand with him. If you hold on to Jesus, he will reward you greater than what you have. They will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. How many false prophets do we have preaching a perverted gospel today? How many are trying to get you, Christian, to take your eyes off of Jesus? There is a program right now that is spreading worldwide that has one thing and one thing in purpose only. Church growth. That's what it pushes. Numbers, numbers, numbers. And the thing that amazes me is that for those churches that study this program, they don't even want you to bring your Bible. Because the program doesn't focus you on Jesus. It focuses you on growth and how to get people into the building. I'm going to tell you something right now, my friend. God doesn't care how many people you have sitting in your church pews. If each one of those people don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, God doesn't care about your numbers. God would rather have five people that truly love Jesus worshiping him than 5,000 singing hymns that are thinking what they need to be doing on Sunday afternoon. It's not numbers to God. It's relationship with God. There were 120 people at the end of the 10 days that the Spirit of God came down on. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I am sure that there was a lot more than 120 people in that room at the beginning of the 10 days. But at the end of the 10 days, there was 120 left. That is the purpose here. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. How many of you see that in the world today? The increasing lawlessness, the increasing murder, the increasing theft, the increasing going against the morality of God. How many are seeing the love of many grow cold? Not just towards Jesus, but the love of many growing cold towards their fellow man. The love of many growing cold. They did a survey years ago, a psychological survey, and they discovered that in crowds, the responsibility is diffused. The more people you have, the less feel they need to do something. And about 10 years ago, in New York, a young lady was attacked. And over about a 10-block area, she was running away from her attacker as he continued to stab her, and she screamed for help. And not one person helped. They all heard her. Hundreds heard her scream for help. But not one came to her rescue because the crowd felt that someone else should do it. A few years ago, a young lady was physically attacked in a bar room in America. And the whole bar stood around and watched as four young men physically attacked this woman. And not one did anything. And when asked why, Each one said they thought someone else would help. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What is your relationship with Jesus? If we look at the signs of the time that Jesus gave us, we are nearing the end. This world is groaning. This world wants it over. Where do you stand? When that time comes, will you leave Him or will you leave it? That's the choice you must make, my friend. Which is more important to you? Your job or Jesus? Your family or Jesus? Your wealth or Jesus? You know, I've heard many preachers preach that a rich man can't get into heaven because of the example where Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. But if you look at the rich man in the story, what happened? The rich man came to Jesus and he told Jesus, "What must I do to get into heaven?" And Jesus basically told him, "You need to keep the Ten Commandments." And the rich man said, "I've done that since my youth. I've done this, I've done that." And then Jesus looked at him and said, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me." And if you remember the story, what happened? The rich man went away sad. He didn't enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus turned around and said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven." The reason the rich man couldn't get into heaven is he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. Where are you, my friend? What is the most important thing in your life? My wife and I were sitting in the prayer sanctuary the other night, and she looked at me and she said, "You know, my relationship with Jesus is so beautiful. I love him more than I love you." And I have to admit, I was taken aback for a second, thinking, "Hey, wait a minute." But that's the way it should be. We should love Jesus more than anything else. In Revelation, we have seven churches. Four of those churches, Jesus gives a very severe warning to us. In Ephesus, Revelation 2:4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Now, I'm not going to get into the internal security, once saved, always saved doctrine. You listen to these words. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Who should be our first love? Jesus. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." My friend, there were seven lampstands, and if you take one away, it's not going to heaven. To Pergamos, Revelation 2:16, "Repent, or else I will come quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Jesus had the two-edged sword of the Word of God that cuts asunder, that cuts all the way to the roots, according to Paul. Sardis, "Remember, therefore, how much you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come as a thief in the night, and you will not know the hour which I come upon you." But the worst of all is the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:16. "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." What is your relationship with Jesus, my friend? When the persecution comes, will you leave Him? When the trials come, will you walk away from Him? Or will you shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I don't know how you're going to get me out of this mess, God, but I know your Son Jesus will, because He fulfills His promises"? Are you lukewarm? Are you walking that center line between the world? Are you listening to the false prophets who are preaching the false gospel? Are you one of those disciples that are spoken of in John 6:6-6? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where do you stand, my friend? Are you in that group that will no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to your own desires, because you have itchy ears and you heap up for yourselves teachers, and you turn away from the truth? Where are you? We are at the end. This world is groaning and aching for the end. So where are you, my friend? Are you going to leave Jesus when that time comes, or are you going to be walking with him?" Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." You're not going to get there thinking you're good. You're not going to get there by doing what you feel is right. You're going to get there through Jesus Christ and through the words of the Bible, and that's the only way you're going to get there. And if you don't have, my friend, a personal relationship with Jesus, if this world ends tonight, you're in trouble. That is the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, the words of Jesus Christ. Do you want to be with the Father through him? Or like the Church of Laodicea? The Church of Laodicea was a rich church. It had no need of anything in its mind. They had programs, they had Sunday schools, they had many people sitting in the pews on Sunday morning. They thought they knew it all. And yet Jesus tells them, they're neither hot or cold, but lukewarm. And he's very plain. He says, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." The four that he mentions here all have a promise of death and destruction if they don't return to him. Will you leave him? Will you walk away from him when that time comes? When they deliver you up to tribulation, when you're hated by all nations for his name's sake, when people are offended and they betray you, when you lose work because you say, "I love Jesus," when you're an outcast because the world wants their immorality and their sin more than they want the truth of the Bible, will you leave him? Or will you stand by Jesus, that if any man deny him on earth, he will deny them before the Father in heaven? Think about it, my friend. Have you denied Jesus? Have you walked away from him? Think about it. Because the time will come soon when that question will be asked of you on Judgment Day. Jesus said, "He who denies me on earth, I will deny him before the Father in heaven." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Thanks for tuning in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. This program was brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic outreach ministry that is dedicated to doing the works that Jesus has called us to do in His name and for His glory. We hope that you are blessed by today's broadcast and that you will visit us on the web at HisWillMinistry.org or write to us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. I'm Mary Werner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. Wishing you a wonderful day serving Christ Jesus. Please feel free to copy and distribute today's message, and we wish you a blessed day.